Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, the message today is a continuation of what I began 2 weeks ago. I have two messages, and this will be the third, part three, on walking after the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. And my plan is to preach two more messages on this subject. Today, I'll be looking at Romans chapter 8, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. But when I started this series, I used basically these two passages, Galatians chapter 5, and I want to read that to you right now, part of it, and then Romans chapter 8, which I really got into in part 2. So if you would like to keep up with these messages and studying the Scriptures, get part 1 and part 2. Today will be part 3, and Lord willing, next week will be part 4 of walking after the Spirit, talking about believers, sinners saved by grace, walking after, following, being motivated and inspired by the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Holy Trinity. And I'm not going to go into that today because that's several messages in and of itself, how we don't believe in three gods. True Christians, we don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God who subsist in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that certainly is a mind-boggling truth that we cannot explain. And I've always said this, you cannot illustrate it. Preachers try to illustrate the Trinity, but there is no earthly illustration that sufficiently explains the Holy Trinity. This is something in the nature of God, the great, as he told Moses in Exodus 3, the great I Am, who always existed, who was, who is, who always will be, who never changes. There are things about God that our limited, our finite minds just cannot conceive. And that's the way it ought to be, because God is God and we are creatures. So understand that. Well, today we're talking about walking after the Spirit. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the salvation of sinners to apply sovereignly and invincibly the benefits and the blessings that the Lord Jesus Christ earned for His people by His death on the cross. God the Father represents the sovereign authority of the Godhead, and He is the source and originator of salvation. We come to the Father through the Son. And the Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, is the mediator. He's the surety. I say this all the time, the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of His people. And He is the one by which God connects with His people through the work, the merits of His obedience unto death as our surety, substitute, and redeemer. In order to go to God, see, we're sinners, and we fell in Adam. The Scripture teaches this now. I know people deny this, but the Scripture teaches this. We fell in Adam, and we're born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We have physical life. We have minds and affections and wills. We are a soul, living souls. But spiritually speaking, as far as the things of God, the things that glorify Him, the things that identify Him, the things that bring people to Him and commune with Him, those things we're spiritually dead to. That's why we need salvation. And in order for us to be saved, righteousness has to be established. God is a just God and a Savior. When God saves in mercy and love and grace, which He does, the Bible says He delights to show mercy. The Bible says God is love, that God is gracious. But His grace and mercy and love must be grounded upon a just ground, a just foundation, a righteous foundation. God must be a just God and a Savior. He must be just when He justifies. You understand that. God's love cannot be given arbitrarily. God's love is based upon what Christ accomplished on the cross. And that's why in passages like 1 John 4:10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation, the sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction to the debt of sin, the law, a propitiation for our sin." You see, people need to understand this. Outside of Christ, there is no love from God. There's only hatred. And that's His just wrath against sin. God's wrath is upon all sinners to whom sin is imputed. And so my only hope as a sinner is to have my sins not charged or imputed to me, but charged and imputed to someone whom God has anointed and appointed and sent to die for my sins. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So I must have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. Well, Christ is that righteousness. Romans 10:4 says, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now that's the justification of God's people. What is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of all my sins on the ground of the blood of Christ. Do you understand that? You see, the forgiveness of sins is a gracious, merciful, loving act of God towards His chosen people. Not everybody without exception now, but towards His people. And who are His people? They are those whom the Holy Spirit brings to believe in Christ. So the forgiveness of sins is a loving, gracious, merciful act of God, but it's based upon justice satisfied in the death of Christ as my surety, as my substitute, as my redeemer. Do you understand that? That's the gospel. The righteousness of God that's revealed in the gospel is the merits of Christ, obedience and death for His people. And it's imputed, it's charged, it's accounted by God to His people based upon their sins, our sins being charged to Christ. And that's how He died. To be justified is to be declared righteous in God's sight. And that is a beautiful, loving, gracious, merciful act of God based upon justice satisfied at the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid my debt in full, and I stand before God in His righteousness. Now, we'll see this in just a moment in Romans 8:10, when the Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Spirit, he makes this statement. He said, "The body is dead because of sin." That is this human body. And we see that. We grow old and we die. We get sick. Some die young, some die old. And that's the consequence of sin. But if we're in Christ, by God's grace, mercy, and love, and based upon what Christ accomplished at Calvary, the body, even though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, now that's what we're going to talk about, is life, eternal life, spiritual life, because of righteousness, because of justice satisfied, because of what Christ did on the cross. And that brings me to what the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is sent forth from the Father and the Son to apply the spiritual life from Christ, the resurrection life of Christ, to each and every one of God's people in the new birth. And it's a literal resurrection from the dead. Because as we're born dead in trespasses and sins, The Spirit is sent forth from Christ to quicken us, to give us life. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You must be born again, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. By nature, as we are naturally born in sin, we don't have spiritual eyes to see the glory of God in Christ, to see even our sinfulness and depravity, how much we need salvation by grace, and how we have nothing to recommend ourselves unto God in ourselves. Salvation cannot be our works, because our works are not good enough. We need a righteousness we can't produce. And the Holy Spirit brings us to see that under the preaching of the gospel in the new birth. And He gives us life. He gives us eyes to see that, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And He gives us the desire to come to Christ. We don't even have the desire to come to Christ. These people who are telling you that the new birth comes about based upon or because of your decision, they're lying to you. The Bible doesn't teach that. Listen, unless you're born again from above, given life, you won't decide for Christ. You won't make the right decision. The natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. No man can come to me, Christ said in John 6:44, unless the Father which has sent me draw him. So understand that. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes and gives life, we walk after the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. And let me just start. We're going to go to Romans 8, and then Lord willing, I'll finish that up next week. But look at Galatians 5 to start with, the apostle writes this in Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit or walk after the Spirit. It's the same thing. Walking in the Spirit and walking after the Spirit is the same thing. He says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, that's the spiritual warfare within. The Holy Spirit within each and every sinner saved by grace, each and every believer, there within him is a warfare. And the Spirit fights against the flesh. Now, I dealt with the term flesh in detail in the last two messages, but the flesh is our sinfulness. That's what he's talking about there. It's the flesh is a metaphor, actually, for our sinfulness, sinful desires, sinful motives, sinful goals, sinful thoughts, all of that. And sin works through this human body, so it's called the flesh. It's not saying that the matter of flesh, just this body in itself, is sinful. Christ had a human body. He is God in human flesh. God manifest in the flesh. Yet He is without sin. You understand that? So it's not that just, you know, my hand is a sinful hand. The flesh is the thoughts and the attitudes and the motives and the goals of sin. I can use my hand to commit sin, or I can use it to do something else. But flesh here represents the fallen, sinful human nature that pervades and controls every son and daughter of Adam. And then when the Holy Spirit comes in through the new birth and indwells us, there is spiritual life there. But that flesh is not dead. Now that flesh cannot condemn us. Sin cannot condemn us. But it is still there, it's still active, and it still is contrary to the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit draws us to do through the Word of God, the flesh is opposed to it. And it's a warfare. And listen, it's a warfare that goes on every day of every believer's life until we leave this body of death, as Paul said in Romans 7, and go to be with the Lord. Then we'll be free of the flesh. Then we'll be sinlessly perfect in ourselves. Then we'll be righteous in ourselves. But until that time, the only righteousness we have is the imputed righteousness of Christ. No righteousness in ourselves. Well, if you'll look over in Romans 8. Now, I think I got up to around verses 5 and 6 and 7. And we were talking about, look at verse 5 of Romans 8. Now, he'd already said in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're talking about walking after the Spirit. And there's no condemnation. That's what that meant over here in Galatians 5 and verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What does that mean? That means you're not condemned. You're justified. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a justified sinner. You're forgiven of all your sins, and you are righteous in God's sight, not by your works, not by your efforts, but totally, exclusively, by the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as your surety, your substitute, and your redeemer. You have His righteousness imputed to you. Romans 4:6, Paul was dealing with a passage in the Psalms that David wrote. And he said that David was describing in Romans 4:6, he said David was describing there in Psalm 32, the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. And so you understand that. That's what it is to be righteous in God's sight. So when he says there's no condemnation, that's how a true believer begins the life of walking after the Spirit. I'm not condemned. I cannot be condemned. Think about that. Now, this is a big part, a major part of walking after the Spirit. It is realizing that because of what Christ did on the cross in my place, again, as my surety, my substitute, and my redeemer, that I cannot be condemned for my sins. God cannot charge my sins to me. Now look over in Romans chapter 8, since we're there, in verse 33, across the page there. And he says this, he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now who's he talking about here? He's not talking about everybody without exception. He's talking about God's elect. Now you may look at me and you say, well, preacher, what if I'm not one of the elect? Well, what if you are? How are you going to know the difference? Well, here's the point. Do you believe what God says in His Word concerning salvation? The gospel, who you are, your sinfulness, your depravity, your spiritual death in sin, trespasses and sin. Do you believe what God says in the gospel concerning who Christ is? God manifest in the flesh, the one who by His one sacrifice for sins put the sins of His sheep, His people, God's elect, totally away so that they cannot be charged to them. Do you believe that you have no righteousness before God except the righteousness of Christ, freely imputed, charged, accounted to you by God, and which God has given you the faith to receive Him, to believe in Him? That's the elect of God. They believe. Now, do you have a desire to believe? Are you seeking the Lord in the Word? This is what this is all about. So look at it again, Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It's God who forgave my sins. There are people that I know who may or may not be friends of mine. They think I've done them wrong and they won't forgive me. They accuse me all the time. But God doesn't. Now, how do I know that? Because I'm led of the Spirit, walking of the Spirit by the Word of God, who tells me that if I rest in Christ for all my salvation, looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, God does not charge me with sin. He justified me. He's forgiven my sins, past sins, present sins, future sins, all sin. They cannot be charged to me. You know why? Because God charged them to Christ. He charged the debt, the demerit of my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what it means when I say that Christ is my surety. He stood in my place as my substitute because He was my surety, the surety of the covenant. That means all of the conditions of my salvation were placed upon Christ, who came into this world and assumed human nature without sin, God manifest in the flesh, died on that cross to pay for my sins. And He paid it in full. Hebrews 10 and verse 14 says, by one offering, He hath perfected, completed, finished forever. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, those whom God set apart, His elect. So He says, He says here, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? Now look at this. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So walking after the Spirit, the most fundamental, foundational truth of that, that we rest in and live by, is this. There is therefore now no condemnation because of what Christ did. But if you look over here, he says in verse 5 of Romans 8, for they that are after the flesh. Now, a person can walk after the flesh. Now, here he's not talking about a believer who falls into some particular sin. Those who walk after the flesh here are those who are spiritually dead, and they are controlled by the fleshly appetites. And so he says, look at it, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, what are the things of the flesh? Now, you can easily see how acts of human immorality, acts of perversion, could be classified as works of the flesh. And the apostle over in Galatians chapter 5, he listed some of that. But also, I want you to see another thing. Walking after the flesh can be a religious person, one who is moral in the eyes of people, human morality, one who is sincere, one who is seeking to be saved, but saved by their works. My friend, that is just as much walking after the flesh as a person who is just throwing caution to the wind and breaks every law that God and man has put in place. If you're a religious person going to a church, but you're trying to be saved based upon your works conditioned on you, you're walking after the flesh. You're minding the things of the flesh because that's a sinful thing in the eyes of God. It does not glorify Him. God is glorified in salvation by grace for His people. It denies Christ. It exalts yourself. It makes you to be the difference between saved and lost and not God. And so he says in verse 5, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now those who walk after the Spirit are those who are born again by the Holy Spirit, who walk by faith in Christ, realizing and knowing and being assured they're not condemned, and following Christ, seeking to be like Christ, not in order to be saved, but because they already are. In verse 6, he says, for to be carnally minded, that's fleshly minded, that's death. I don't care how you appear to men. I don't care how sincere you are. You may have turned away from a life of immorality and become religious, but without Christ, without the gospel, without faith in Christ and repentance of dead works aimed at salvation, my friend, you're walking after the flesh. But those who are walking after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit, who leads us to Christ, who brings us to the Word of God. And to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, controlled by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, that's life and peace. Now what that means is this. If you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, walking after the Spirit, that's an evidence that you have spiritual life and that you're at peace with God. There's a passage over in Galatians 6 and verse 14 that I love where Paul writes, God forbid that I should glory, boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. If we're walking after the Spirit, our whole motto is this, God forbid that I should boast, have confidence, be secure, except by one ground, the cross of Christ. What Christ did on the cross as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer. And so that's life. And so he says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, the fleshly mind is an enemy of God. You take the best of sinners, the best of people that ever lived on this earth, who are doing their best to keep the law in order to be saved, in order to be righteous, in order to be made right with God, they are actually enemies of God. Because God will not receive that. It does not glorify Him. The only ones who are friends of God are those who are in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness, walking by faith in Christ, pleading the blood of Christ, pleading the righteousness of Christ, coming to God as sinners, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, knowing that if God were to judge us in any way, at any time, based upon our best efforts to keep the law, we'd be condemned. But in Christ, who kept the law in my place, who satisfied justice in my place, I'm not condemned. And that's what it means, the carnal mind. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. To be subject to the law of God is to believe in, rest in, and bow to Christ as the end, the finishing of the law for righteousness. That's to everyone that believeth. Everyone who walks by the Spirit, walks in the Spirit, walks after the Spirit. They look to Christ. They rest in Him. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.